show. Welcome to Breaking Ice, Building Bridges. This is your host, Byron Jackson, and I have two lovely, lovely guests with me today. I have the lovely Leah and then Zaina. Holy cow. Why am I blanking?
That is my last name. Holy cow.
Zaina.
Holy cow.
Dear Zaina, holy cow. Yeah. What is your last name?
Williams.
Williams. That's what I thought. I go, Williams. I didn't want to say the wrong thing. This is the way I roll. Welcome to Breaking Ice, Building Bridges. And the hardest struggle with this show is I can never remember the name of the show. And so I just have to, and I made it up. And this is one of the things I'm learning about myself. I make stuff up and then I get resentful because it's like happening. And I go, why are we naming this? Well, you named it that. And I go, oh my goodness. Well, this is, tell me a little about yourself. So before we begin, so Zaina, Leah, so when I say the word breath, what do you think of?
I just instantly put my attention on my breath. Like awareness.
Awareness.
Meditation.
Same, yeah. Bringing yourself into that stillness in the present, just feeling your body, reconnecting with your breath and yourself. What about you?
Probably the same thing. So let's take a moment then when we start and let's just breathe. I want you to inhale, exhale. Now I want you to inhale to the count of six. Exhale to six and hold for six. Repeat. Relax.
I feel like I should hug myself after that.
We should hug ourselves all the time.
That's true. Follow suit on that.
And so for you, you know, like, because one of the things you do is peaceful, mindful resolutions.
Mindful resolutions.
So that's with conflict.
Mm-hmm. We teach de-escalation, restorative justice, and conflict resolutions with kiddos.
So one of the main things then with de-escalating conflict is getting your brain from reptilian to getting back. So breath is actually one of the first things to connect you back in.
You got it.
So what got you interested in dealing with conflict?
Dealing with enough of it growing up.
Tell me more.
Family, just life in general, right? Like we all face so much conflict.
Now, have you been in fist fights?
I have been in a fight. Yeah, it was more of a kind of hair pulling situation, but yeah. Yeah. No, I did taekwondo, though, so I did structured fighting.
You did structured fights, yeah. Did you? So, did you get any belts?
Mm-hmm.
Which belt did you reach?
Junior black belt.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
My brother did taekwondo. Now, have you been in fist fights?
I must admit I have.
Okay.
Grew up a little rowdy and in a space where physical violence was acceptable and the norm, and so I thought, yeah, that was okay because it was perpetuated all around me.
I had the hardest time with fighting, but everybody around me fought, and so I was really tiny, but I thought that I should fight. No one around me thought that I needed to fight, Occasionally, but mainly just I. So I would pick fights and I would get killed. I mean, I would just get, I remember there's this kid, we both played the clarinet and never bothered anyone. And I tried to push him into a fight in class and he wouldn't fight. And finally, I tore his notebook up. And so I just ripped it in two. That was enough. So he gets in. So I do all my practice stancing, swinging. I hit the guy, and he just continually just keeps walking towards me like the Frankenstein monster. He gets me in the corner, and he starts hitting me. And every time he hit my head, it would bounce against the wall. It went right back into his fist. So head hit the wall, back to fist, head the wall. Till I just slid down the wall, and then he walked away. And looking back at that, I really not needed to do that, except that I felt like I needed to do that.
Was he a quiet kid?
Yeah.
They always say don't mess with the quiet ones, like the ones that never mess with anyone, because when it comes out, it comes out.
Yeah, I learned that. I actually have learned to not mess with anyone. And so, and then like switching where now... Really, my philosophy is not for physical violence and against. So it's just interesting because I do have that. Like if you come up on me driving and you get like right on my butt and we start like having like knots, I am ready to pull off to the side of the road and just throw down. And what are you laughing
at? I'm laughing because this weekend you told me that you thought I was behind you in the car. So you now I'm wondering if you're going to fight me on the side of the road.
You were very nice. But I'm just when I'm driving and someone is like right
on you,
right there. And so just learning to, so back to breath. Breath has been important for me, just learning to de-escalate myself because there's a switch in me that I could go to rage like very easily sometimes. And
absolutely.
Sana, in your work, do you ever meet the rage or the anger with your kids in a way that is honoring the anger and kind of teaching them how to channel it in a safe way rather than totally shutting it down? Or how do you approach that?
That's a really good question, Leah. Oh my goodness. Wow. I usually meet their anger and rage by doing a personal self-check to see where I'm at on the scale. Mm. Because if I'm escalated, or I'm in that moment where they're trying to cuss me out, or you know what I mean? There's just like, I feel myself escalated on a scale, then I know that I'm not the person to de-escalate with them. Mm-hmm. Like the way I view de-escalation with the kiddos that I get to work with is that you get to be the lighthouse in the storm. Like you are supposed to, or I shouldn't say supposed to, my version of de-escalation is that you get to be the calm in the storm. Like the sense of stability. So if I'm here, like on a low level scale, because I know the podcast listeners can't see it, and the youth is escalated like on a 10 and I'm on a like 2, they're eventually going to have to come down to where I'm at. But that means that I have to be solid within myself. So when you're talking about breath and like mindfulness, I'm like, that's so important. Because man, some days they can push it. Mm. What about you all in life situations? How do you handle the escalation?
Probably my natural is to shut down. And I'm trying to work through that so that I'm more engaging. And but I mean, even if I'm take anger out and just put in, you heard my feelings. And so I just tend to shut down. But then I just shut you off. So it's not like I'm just being quiet. I mean, you're like dead to me. And at that moment. And so I have tried to work, especially like with my children and, you know, my spouse and, you know, friends that I'm close to, because, I mean, they will call me and on it and they'll say, what's the matter? And I'll go, nothing. They go, no, no, what's the matter? I go, nothing. And so I'm saying a lot fewer nothings now. I could stop and go, well, because I usually feel really silly for the stuff I get upset over. So it's not like somebody like killed my dog or stole my car. I mean, it's something that maybe somebody didn't like text me back. Mm. And then I just get my feelings hurt and go, well, why didn't I get the text back? And
Do you think that comes down to like a feeling of like invalidation or not feeling in control of some area or a basic need?
I think probably the invalidation more, you know. Anyway, how about you?
Yeah, that's actually really relatable for me as well. I was shut down emotionally in general for a large part of my life. But it also blocks out the joy as well, you know?
Yeah.
So over time, just learning, like what you were saying, it's sometimes it can be a small thing that feels silly. But then I was able to realize there was actually so much more that built up that you're shutting down and pushing down over time. Oh. And then it's the one text or the one comment or the one look that kind of sends you over the edge because there's so much more to look at there.
Which is really, you could tie that in to like think of somebody that does like a mass shooting. And I always wonder about that being the one thing that tips them over. So it's made me very aware of chance encounters I have, like with somebody at the store or in a parking lot. And mine might be the one that tips somebody over, but maybe it could tip them back. Mm. And I'm trying to remember, I was someplace last week and I was with someone and they said something that I felt was just kind of dismissing of this person. And they just were kind of a lonely, homely looking guy. And when they did that, I just saw they had a baseball cap. I just saw their head go down. And so I just went in and after that and just like go, thank you for your time. And what is your name? And I mean, I just because I think all of us have that that one thing that just kind of sends us over there, which has nothing to do with anything that we're talking about, but.
No, I think it's all connected. Yeah.
I agree. I feel like that's all so tied together. Like even this morning, there was an issue with one of the kiddos. So I'm still like a little slightly like getting back to my full center this morning. Like there was an issue with one of the kiddos and a situation that the family's going through. And I'm like, man, so I do feel like it's all tied together. Like he's been pushing down a lot of fears and insecurities about this season of life. And now it's starting to come out in an explosion of behaviors and ghosting and different things like that. So I think it does all tie together.
Mm, yeah. So what is your approach to those kind of situations, or do you really tailor your response to each child?
Tailor to each child as I'm learning them, but as a generic starting point before I know a kiddo, like so I give space, I set a boundary up front and just like a clear expectation for them. So I'll say, I'm going to reach out to you 3 times, but I will never reach out over 3 times unless it is a life or death emergency without a response. Because that to me comes across like, what do I look like as a 36-year-old woman chasing a 14-year-old boy we're chasing a
ballad.
Right? So at some point, that's a little creepy.
Yeah.
It could even be a little stalkerish. I'm not doing that. So boundary. So until I hear from you, but when you're ready, I am here and I will be open ears and ready. So like with this kiddo this morning, taking a step back, which is really hard.
Did he reach out?
Not yet. Okay. But his pattern of behavior is that he will, once he's in the clear and back in a place where he's ready to get it together and move forward.
Yeah. I love that, because that is part of accountability in your own healing journey, you know?
Totally. How would you handle an escalation with a kiddo?
Yeah, I'd say tailored, like you said. It's so unique to each individual, each journey, where they're at, if they're ready, like you said. It depends.
What about you, Byron?
I think the first thing I do is, I look at my own safety. Like, am I safe? Do I feel threatened? Because sometimes people will just be blowing because they're mad. Sometimes they're blowing, and it's kind of fearful because I don't know if, this kid going uncontrollable, leaping at me. And so if I feel safe in that way, generally just letting people express, and then till they're just tired, and I just don't say anything. And I just try and pay attention to lighting, is calm. And the silence is interesting because sometimes people could be blowing up and you're silent and they think you're not paying attention to them. Are they somehow disinterested? So I have to throw in a word, I hear you. And so mainly just to let people say it. Mm-hmm. And then to kind of help them to work through some sort of solution. But really, I think that most of us, what our deepest hope is to be seen. And so I just think letting people know that you see them is important to me.
Absolutely.
Good question, though. There's another question I was having back there, but I forgot it, so. Oh, I remember. So just knowing you a little, Zaina, which other people don't know, Zaina, but I noticed checking things off lists is important to you. So you find safety in that.
Very much so.
Very much so. Do you know where that comes from?
I was very disorganized as a child. And my room was always trashed, but my parents were super type A and incredibly structured, very organized. So intensely organized. So at some point in time control, right? To control my environment and try to fit in better with what their expectations were, I began list keeping and vision goal setting and vision board setting, because it helps me know that I'm moving forward and to track, and so that I don't revert into my natural state, which is a bit more chaotic and a bit more disorganized. But to avoid that, I'm very intentional about being organized and list keeping to track and measure that I'm hitting what I want to hit as far as goals.
It's very, that makes so much sense. That makes so much sense to me. It's just fascinating to me to watch different things that people do to find little security.
Makes me feel safe.
And feel safe. But I was noticing when you're talking about the your youth, and you said, three things. Mm-hmm. And so I noticed that you put a number on there.
Have to.
Yeah.
Because then it's also for them, right? They know, okay, Mizzy has reached out 3 times. So I have to reach out if I'm going to hear from her again. But I know that she's there. You know what I'm saying? There's a clear expectation. So there's a boundary in place.
It's so funny. I just heard on a Star Trek, you can find every truth in the universe on a Star Trek episode. The originals is, but one of the things that they said it that all that math is like universal communication. And it's so true in so many ways. I'm finding that there's so much safety as people that we find in math and numbers of math. It's like, what time will I pick up my children? Mm-hmm. 7. And then you miss that number and you come in at 10. You go, what the hell? And we completely lose our safety for if you come in at 7. So it's just amazing to me, math and how connected we are to math and how universal it is.
Yeah. Numbers. I'm curious too about how you both feel most safe. Like what it like lists and organization makes me feel safe.
Yes, absolutely agree on that front. My childhood was also chaotic, but in a different way, I'd say, where there was no organization from an adult. And so I kind of had to figure that out on my own to create safety mentally and physically. Like there was uncleanliness and just a lot of different elements that felt unsafe. So over time, I kind of created my own habits to make a little safety for myself. But that also can go to the opposite extreme where it's creating anxiety, and that's not safe either. I think there's just got to be a healthy balance, which I'm finally reaching. And my own children have helped in that journey a lot of reminding me that it doesn't have to be perfect in order to feel safe. Mm. The balance is where the safety is.
That's good.
How about you, Byron?
What was the question? I got so wrapped up in
the question. No, the answer was so good. I was like, Leah, my gosh, that's so wow.
Well, both of you guys is, both of yours. What was the question?
Safety. Like what environment or what are your ticks that are your safety plugs, if you will?
I think familiarity, getting in my bed is very safe for me. Going to other beds, though I may do it, there's always such a safety for me. Going to stores, like a grocery store that I'm familiar with going, where like I know where files are. Like they move stuff around in stores all the time. It drives me crazy because part of my safety is I don't have to be looking for stuff for hours and hours. I know, okay, the cheese is right over here. And so I find safety in, you know, just the familiar. And, but I enjoy the challenge of doing new things, but I do find safety. And so I have learned with traveling to create safe spaces when I'm traveling. Like, for instance, once I have like a hotel and I know once I'm like in and have a ground, then I feel free to go and explore. So I find those things. So I have to find, but if I just like went to like another country and started just going around on a backpack, you'd have to sedate me.
Which all goes back to the breath that you were talking about in the beginning of finding that internal safety, you know, just even being safe in your own body, regardless of where you are, what bed you're sleeping in, what grocery store aisle you're on, breath, bringing it all back in.
That would be great in the middle of like Walmart to just start breathing in an aisle.
Sometimes that's what you gotta do.
Legitimately.
You know, they, you know, remodeled the Natural Grocers in Norman.
Yes.
And I walked in and immediately run into the new
checkout.
Yes, the new checkout, because I was so used to walking a certain way. And I had to take some deep breaths right there because I felt silly.
Yeah.
Oh, because it wasn't familiar.
Right.
That makes so much sense.
See, ladies, our time is up. It goes quickly, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Flew by.
I think you guys would be excellent hosts of your own show.
We might have to tag team, Zana.
I could see that. Leah, I'd love that.
She'd call legitimately. It Ebony and Ivory.
Ooh.
Boom.
If they don't know, one is black and one is white.
Leah. You guys will have to guess which that is dun, dun, which.
That is the piano keys. And also Zana and Leah.
That's actually true.
And I could sing your theme song. Ebony and Ivory. Together. But I never remember the words to it. So all I could do is chorus.
It could be a surprise each time. What is the theme song going to be today?
Oh, that's true. I like that. That is true.
Spontaneous.
It's funny. You guys are such great human beings. I completely forgot skin coverings. So thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
This is Byron Jackson the 14th. And this has been Breaking Ice, Building Bridges. We're out. Connecting a community
through conversation. Breaking Ice, Building Bridges is the Possibilities Community Podcast platform. Thanks for tuning in.